Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Mark the 10th chapter.
And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before Jesus and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. O Lord, have mercy on us." In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. This is what Israel said in response to the Ten Commandments that we heard repeated yesterday in chapel. And they also said something else first in response. They said, "Moses, tell God to shut up. We'll listen to you, but if God keeps speaking to us like this, we will die." And God said, they were right in what they have spoken, to recognize that the Lord, through his law, would mean their death. "Oh, that they would always have such a heart as this to fear me," God said, "and to keep my commandments." But you know the rest of the story of Israel. Disheartening. And so a young man came to Jesus. And I would like to say that this exchange didn't really go very well. Jesus had a real seeker here, right? And he blew it. He didn't receive his compliment, "Good teacher." He didn't seem impressed to hear that all this I have done either. Here's a better Israelite than those who were at Sinai. And yet the Lord gives him an awkward stare down and very little credit. Jesus loves him, the text says, and invites him to come follow me. But the man is put off by what Jesus says, obviously. Jesus does not close the sale. And here's where it gets really painful, for us at least, who don't like to fail, who may be under the pressure that it's our approach that makes disciples for life, and who certainly don't want people going away from us, sad and disheartened. But Jesus does not seem worried at all. He doesn't dash away quickly after the man to apologize and to stop him from running away. He doesn't follow up to correct the misunderstanding. In fact, it's almost as if Jesus thinks that the guy understood him absolutely correctly. And then Jesus looked around for us, who began to get nervous. And he said, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And we were shocked at his words. So he said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God, period. If not the rich, then who? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than that. And we were exceedingly shocked. Christ's 12 disciples, they heard this exactly as it sounds. A camel through an eye of a needle. That doesn't mean really pretty hard, but just doable. But it means if God talks to us like this anymore, we're going to die. Who indeed can be saved at all? Because it sounds, Jesus, like you're saying it's impossible. And then Jesus looked at them and said, it is impossible. Jesus Christ is a prophet like Moses and greater than Moses. That's because he speaks the law of God, the commandments, the word that tests us and says, do not sin. He's greater than Moses in that he does not speak this law lightly, indirectly, in a veiled sort of way. He is not ashamed of the law of God, even if it would condemn everyone and, at least at first, send us away pretty disheartened. Again, the Lord says they are right in what they have spoken. When men go away sad, it is not because they have misunderstood, but it is because they have gotten our message, Christ's message, the message that the church is given to tell. They've gotten it very clear. It is impossible for me to do what I must do to earn an inheritance of eternal life. No one is good except God. And on such terms, Jesus still says, come, follow me. This is because as far as man is concerned, it is utterly impossible that anyone will be saved. As far as God is concerned, however, he is able to save. And for this reason, he sent Christ, the prophet like Moses, and greater, the one to interpose between the law and the impossibles, to provide a righteousness that exceeds. If a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Lord in his scriptures and in the mouth of Jesus imprisons everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus would be given to those who believe. The word of God, command and promise, are spoken in the mouth of Christ, to which all must listen. As far as man is concerned, we must become like a little child to enter. Now try to make yourself that. No one could do such a thing. But this is why God makes us his children, why he wins us back as sons and heirs by our brother Jesus Christ. One thing is needful, one good, the treasure of God in our flesh, God in our place, God satisfying his own demands. Eternal life comes by inheritance. And that means it comes to poor, lacking children. Oh, that we would have hearts to fear and to keep God's commandments indeed. That is far better than riches. But the chief purpose of the law of God, as Moses said it very well at Sinai, is to test, is to diagnose, to reveal impossibility for us, so that then we would gladly hear and receive the blessings and the power that must come from Jesus, our only mediator, who rescues us by his blood. And we cannot, dear Christians, dear workers for the church, we cannot be ashamed that the power of this gospel resides in God for salvation and not in the power of us. That lack of power in me, that is what will dishearten many to whom we speak. They will hear in Jesus only an invitation to become poor, to become foolish, to deny themselves and to suffer. In short, to be like children. That's exactly what they ought to be, and exactly who Jesus loves to say, "Come, follow and be with me." And they will reject that. And you, dear friends, could not free them from those terms set by Christ any more than they could free themselves, unless, that is, you would deform the invitation, unless you would change the gospel so that it was unrecognizable. Put away your pliers, because Jesus is clear that the size of the needle hole must not be relaxed. With man, it must remain impossible. And faith is not disheartened by this, but faith can rejoice in this. It can sing as we just have, "Nothing have I, Christ, to offer, except you alone. You are my highest good. Nothing have I, Lord, to proffer, except your all-sufficient blood." Thanks be to God, all that the Lord has spoken, Christ has done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Pon Chanthapon, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.